Order, order.
'Twas the week before Christmas, and all round the House, MPs were getting ready for their long summer adjournment. Keen to clear the government's desk and get some bills off to select committees, the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee, moved urgency after questions on Thursday afternoon.
We're about to go into a long recess, and when we come back, we have the Prime Minister's statement and then the attendant debate that goes around that, meaning that the amount of time available in February is also somewhat limited.
Leading the dozen bills in Mr Brownlee's urgency motion was an amendment bringing legislation governing the Security Intelligence Service into the digital age. While the bill had support from all parties except the Greens for its first reading, Labor was opposed to it being included in the urgency motion and its future consideration by the Intelligence and Security Committee. A statutory committee established in 1996. It's not a select committee, and its small membership is effectively controlled by the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition. It's also chaired by the Prime Minister, who responded to questions on Tuesday from Keith Lock, Foreign Affairs spokesman for the Greens, who wanted to know if the committee's hearings on the SIS amendment would be open to the public.
The way that the committee is established by legislation is such that it requires unanimous support of the committee members for there to be a position adopted. Therefore, if the position was to be one of holding the hearings in public, that would have to have unanimous support. As chair of the committee, I won't be supporting it, and therefore it will not have unanimous support.
Next day, though, the Prime Minister was having second thoughts.
Up until yesterday, the advice I had received was that such hearings were properly done in private. However, last night I received advice that has led me to ask the Director of the SIS to reassess the issue and provide me with new advice on what the situation should be.
Then on Thursday, Attorney-General Christopher Finlayson stood in for the Prime Minister in leading off the debate on the bill's first reading.
To enable members of the public to contribute, it will be recommended to the members of the Intelligence and Security Committee that public submissions should be invited on the bill and arrangements made to hear submitters who wish to appear before the committee.
But Labor's Pete Hodgson doubted whether that would have much effect on the committee or its chairman.
Of course they're going to say we don't want any hearings to be made public. Of course they're going to not want transparency on their watch, because that's not their style, it's not their history, it's not where they've come from, it's why they're called spooks. And we do know that the Prime Minister is subject to that sort of boy's own excitable story stuff, because he travels with an enormous number of diplomatic protection squad personnel around him. He's got people striding around, even walking into this chamber. He comes with an armed guard. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Pete Hodgson also pursued the Prime Minister with more questions about the resignation of Pansy Wong as his Minister of Women's Affairs and her trips to China, using parliamentary privilege to link Mr Key to one of his predecessors, Jenny Shipley, and her business connections with Pansy Wong's husband, Sammy, to which Mr Key's response was,
if any member has any information they want to send off to the Auditor-General, they're free to do so.
Among Mr Key's ministers under pressure from opposition questions was Gerry Brownlee in his role as the Minister for Canterbury Earthquake Recovery.
I totally reject any suggestion that I haven't fronted up or have shown any reluctance to answer questions. What I'm not interested in dealing with is some of the silly speculation that goes on from people who have perhaps not read all the information that's available at the present time. As someone who is personally affected by this, I think the communications to this point, given the complexity of the problem, have been perfectly adequate. Rocking people up unnecessarily does not help them.
And Health Minister Tony Ryle had this response to a question about the closure of an old people's home in Taihape.
Oh, Mr Speaker, of course no one is happy that people's lives are disrupted in this way. But the fact is...
And the ACT Party's newest MP, Hilary Calvert, had this to say about Paul Quinn's members' bill, stopping all convicts in prison from having a vote.
I can't pretend that this is my favourite thing. Trevor Mallard leaving the House earlier, and if he didn't have a vote while he was away, that could count. Perhaps popping a little ping-pong ball in a honourable member over there who keeps going like this with his mouth open all day, that could count as my favourite thing. This bill is not my favourite thing. However, we are supporting the National Party on this bill.
Axe 5 votes gave Mr Quinn the majority he needed to defeat the opposition of all other parties, his bill passing on the last Members' Day of the year, which also saw the adoption of the Māori Affairs Committee's report on its inquiry into the tobacco industry in this country. Parliament's back for its final week of the year at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.